You're welcome once again. We continue with our theme, Authentic Christianity, God's Covenant People, and the title of today's message is God's Masterpiece. We have two scriptures we're going to read quickly, and then we go into the Word of God. Psalm 139 from verses 13 to 18. Psalm 139 from verses 13 to 18 says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you are still with me. When I wake up, you are still with me." And Ephesians 2 from verses 1 to 10. It says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is a spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved, for He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. Thank God for God. Thank God for His plans towards us. I was looking at the scripture and I thought, I'd want to read a bit of that to you, because it's just good for us to remind ourselves of who this God is. You know, this God that we profess, that we serve. Who is He? And Isaiah 40, verses 12 to 15. It says, "Who has held the oceans in His hand?" So I understand where the psalmist is coming from. This knowledge is just too great for me. "Who has held the oceans in His hand? Who has measured off the heavens with His fingers?" The heavens with His fingers? He says, "Who else knows the weight of the earth?" In other words, who else apart from me knows the weight of the earth? Or who has weighed the mountains and hills on a scale? Who is able to advise the Spirit of the Lord? Who knows enough to give him advice or teach him? Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right or show him the path of justice? No, for all the nations of the world are but a drop in the bucket. They are nothing more than dust on the scales, the nations of the world. So you put China, you put India, you put Russia, you put America, you put the UK. That's the God that we have come to worship this morning. So what is going on in your life that you think is beyond God? I know, honestly, I know that at times we go through the motions. I know that. And that's why this is a reminder for us this morning. And as I was preparing for this message, God kept on ringing something in my ears. He says, I am not man. I am not man. You have not come to meet with man. I don't know whether, I know it's for me. I know it's for me, definitely for me. But I don't know whether it's for anyone here. But God says, I am not man. I am God. When you come to me, don't come to me like you are coming to a man. It's only a man that will keep a black book. You know what a black book is? Yeah, okay, many people don't know black book. That's fine. You know, when we're much younger in primary school, when you have done, you've crossed the boundary, then the head teacher will bring her black book out. God help you if your name gets into that book. If God says he has forgiven you, he has, honestly. But you see, we operate like we're dealing with man. It's man that is smiling and is saying, you know what, tomorrow you come here, the chair won't be there. I will have moved your chair from your seat. It's only man that does things like that, not God. So God says he is not man. He is God. The beauty of the Psalms and David was that David was a man who was a deep thinker. And I think it's important that we take time out from time to time to reflect. Because when we reflect, we gain more understanding. And when we gain more understanding, we become a lot more appreciative. He was a man who deeply appreciated God. You know, David said, okay, well, God, I will build you a house. And God said, no, your hands are full of blood. No way. I will get your son to do it. But because David appreciated God so much, everything that they would need to construct and build that house, he provided before he died. Somebody would have said, you know what? Well, God has said so anyway. I shouldn't do it. I tried, but not David. Not David. Full of appreciation. No wonder God said that David was a man after his own heart. Thank you, Adi and Didi, for your teaching last week. My daughter kept on saying, oh, well, it was great. And it was great. It was great. Thank you very much for blessing us. But you see, what I took from that is that, you know, many times we take things for granted. I was looking at the robot, you know, and it was trying to pick up the cup, and I was looking at how long, you know, surrounded by so many other people, you know, who are just monitoring things, how long the effort he put in, or the effort they put in to get that robot to pick up the cup. I found out that we have 79 organs in our body. Strangely. 79. So many, you know. Circulatory system, respiratory system, and they all have their subs. And I thought in my heart, when last did I thank God for my digestive system? When last did we thank God for the systems running in our bodies? You know, many of us can do so many things. We can talk, we can watch, we can eat, all at once, all the systems working seamlessly. God has made the human body his workmanship. The Bible says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. What makes a product valuable? You know, if you were going to buy a product or you've heard about a product, what makes a product valuable? One is the credibility of the manufacturer. So if you were going to buy a Rolex wristwatch, because they're credible, the value goes up. What else? Cost of production. At times when the cost of production is high, you know, it can be transferred onto the product. And then the functionality of the product itself. What can the product do? That also can make a product very valuable. And then, if the product is scarce, it can also bring the value high. You know that God created us. And because God created us, God is credible. So, our value definitely goes up. We're valuable people. Don't let anyone deceive you and think that you're not valuable. We are valuable because of God. I looked at it, the cost of our production. How much do you think it would cost in the open market to create these eyes? How much? I also know that even when you get twins together, they're different. There's only one of you all over the world. Only one. Only one of you all over the world. So you are valuable. Don't devalue yourself. God has made you valuable. Then the psalmist went on to talk about the fact that God was watching while he was being formed. You know, many times we have questions in our hearts that we're asking God. And I've come here just to assure you this morning that God takes every detail of your life very seriously. In fact, God doesn't leave anything to chance. In Exodus chapter 14, verse 23 to 25, it states that the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots and charioteers, chased them into the middle of the sea. But just before dawn, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw their forces into total confusion. He twisted their chariot wheels, making their chariots difficult to drive. "Let's get out of here, away from these Israelites," the Egyptians shouted. "The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." God kept a vigil on behalf of his children that night. He personally supervised that project. I'm here to assure you this morning that you might think that there are details of your life that God really doesn't care about. That's not correct. God cares about every detail of your life. Then the psalmist then said that every aspect of his life has been recorded in God's book. I'm also here to say to you this morning that God is assuring you that as long as you're his child, nothing is going to take you out of action. God has a plan for your life, and no one has the power to change that plan except yourself. The Bible says that who is he that speaks and it comes to pass except the Lord has spoken? God's thoughts towards you are recorded in his own secret book. His thoughts towards you are thoughts of good, that's what the Bible says, and not of evil. To give you a hope, to give you a future, and to give you an expected end. Why hope? God gives you hope, something to look forward to in life. And then he gives us a future, which means that our hopes will become a reality, so that we don't experience dashed hopes. In fact, the Bible says that hope deferred makes the heart go sick. So God is giving us a hope. His thoughts towards us are good and not evil. Giving us a hope, giving us a future, and he wants to bring us to an expected end, which means that predicted outcomes. Nothing happens by chance in the kingdom of God. God knows about everything about you, and it's all been recorded in his book. God wants us to enjoy his presence. The Bible says that Psalm 127 verse 1 states that unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. The most secure man on earth is the one that God is with. The most secure man on earth is the one that God is with. And as children of God, God is assuring us of his presence. Yesterday, I was looking at the news, and there was an helicopter crash in Nigeria, and I watched how the whole thing happened, because the helicopter was carrying the vice president of the country, and because of, you know, the status, people were there, you know, filming, you know, the thing trying to land, because they had come to welcome him. And the thing was landing, was, you know, trying to land. There was no sign there was any problems. But as it was about to land, it landed on the left side, and the thing just tumbled. And you could see everybody just, you know, took off. And then we saw sparks. But to God be the glory. Everyone came out of that helicopter safe. The safest man on earth is the one that God is with. When God is with a man, what is causing other people distress, you will go through it and come out of it tops. Has God not spoken that he will bless our food, he will bless our water, and he will take sickness away from our midst? Now, this is to assure you that God is on your side. There is no doubt about it. God wants to help us. God wants to bless us. God wants to multiply us. The details of our lives that we think, oh, no one is seeing this, God sees it, and he wants to help you. And he will help you in the mighty name of Jesus. However, I realize that everything in life exists for a reason. There's nothing you see that is not existing for one particular reason or the other. If you take this microphone, it exists for a reason. The reason this microphone is existing is to amplify my voice so that you can hear me clearly. So the purpose of this microphone is to help amplify my voice. Now, what if I started to use this microphone as a straw to drink water or to take Pepsi? What do you think would happen to the microphone? The first thing that would happen to the microphone is that it becomes corrupted. Because other things, I'm using the microphone for something different. What it's supposed to be doing is no longer doing it. It's doing something else. So the first thing is that the microphone becomes corrupted. And when it becomes corrupted, it begins to malfunction. And then we will say that the microphone is no longer fit for purpose. You can see that journey. It's not being used for what it's supposed to be used for. So it becomes corrupted, and then Once it becomes corrupted, it begins to malfunction. And then, no longer fit for purpose. Do we know that our lives, that was how we were? God created us as humans to worship Him. The Bible says that we are created in God's image. To be created in God's image means that we're supposed to reflect God. We're supposed to reflect God, God's image. But the moment sin came into the world, sin corrupted we humans. And then we began to malfunction and then no longer fit for purpose. And they checked it out. The penalty to get us back on track, we didn't have what it took to pay that. God took that over from us. And God paid that price for us. Let us bow down our heads. Thank you, Jesus.